I want to talk about some positive takeaways from COVID. This is going to be an extremely short message. We got through it. Good night, everybody. Anyway, just a couple of things I want to talk about today, and then we're done. And now, I can't speak for Calgary. I hope you're continuing to pray for Calgary. I know that all across Canada, the reports and the word was out about how they were rocked there back a week or two ago with the hail and the storm and, I guess, mild hurricanes. And them weathering the storm is still to be determined. But I think, church, I think in the sense of COVID-19, I think we've weathered the storms. Amen? I think we're getting there. Yeah, I think we've weathered the storm. My scripture verse today is, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those that love him and are called according to the purposes that he has for us. Somebody say amen. My dear friend of mine, John, it's his life verse, and if he's watching this via video, then this is for you, John. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those that love God and are called according to the purposes that he has for us, Romans 8:28. Still a long, long journey ahead, but we're getting there. And before we talk about systemic changes, I want to talk about a couple of things closer to home. And that brings us to number one, and that is, I think probably everyone can echo this sentiment, I changed. I changed. Personally, I changed. And I just added, I didn't put it there, but I put it here. And I needed to. I've been saying this all through COVID, that I want to be a better person. I want to be a more diligent person at the end of this thing than going into it. I don't want to stay the same in this life interruption. And we have this wondrous opportunity to deflect, to take inventory, and to change for the better. In this watershed season, what an opportunity to change. Now, it's rhetorical of sorts, but you can give a hand or whatever, and that is, you can sort of put up a hand, and that is, has God done something rich in your lives in this season? Has God done something? Okay, a few hands. The rest of, I hated every flipping minute of it, and I'm glad it's over. No, well, you know what? As we get into this message, you'll kind of go, oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, that's true. Me personally, and Tammy can testify to this over the years, getting better and better through the years, but naturally prone to wider mood swings. But I think Jesus has kept me steadier and more even keeled than I would have normally been. And I'd like to take the credit, but all the credit goes to Jesus and Tammy. I always say, Holy Spirit, a.k.a. Tammy. But the biggest thing is that we just got to simply abide in that grace. If you're given a grace to do something, if you're given the tools, the strength from Jesus, it's just our call to abide in it, to lock eyes and to lock with Jesus and to agree with what he's doing. Another thing, and maybe some others can testify to this, I did more interviews and I did more helping people in their interview processes than ever before. Fortified my heart and my mind, did more training, read more books, gleaned far more advice, and took more risks than I ever would have if it would have been business as usual. And isn't that true? And you know what? Thank God for it. So that's number one, I changed. Number two is, life changed. We all changed. We all had to change. Again, life changed and it needed to. And that's in respect with everyone all around us about church life. Oh my goodness, did church life change? But I learned early on in this season, and actually I wrote about it in the paper. I've talked about it. I think I've shared about it in the videos. And that is, it wasn't about us being proud, or I guess I should say mean. I don't want to say proud necessarily, but almost that triumphantness and that rah, 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 courage thing. It wasn't about being proud that we didn't have fear, but I learned it was about loving those that do. Let's just take a moment there and go, wow, that's true. Because, you know, I was quick to preach that scripture. I was quick to quote that scripture to say, perfect love casts out all fear. Amen, amen, amen. But then perfect love also needs to be extended to those that are in fear. And Pastor Tim Bergman was so gracious to be able to reveal that to me, and I thank God for it. And then the other thing that was huge, and I believe in this journey in COVID, thankfully, we've started to take us our thoughts past those opposing views. You know, the water cooler talk. It's the hanging out at the coffee shop and we shoot the breeze and we, you know what I'm talking about? And it either is the two opinions of, oh, this didn't affect me at all. It was business as usual. I mean, hey, this is fantastic, actually. I mean, it was great. Or it ruined my life. My life is wrecked. But you know what? It's not about those two opposing opinions, and I need a big, loud, large amen when I say this. It's about what can we all do to exact change in this season? Somebody say amen. This is the moist talking, isn't it? You guys are very quiet because you're just following protocol of moist talking. And then another thing I learned, and this is huge. Life totally changed in 3 months. Hello? Completely changed in 3 months. And then I'm like, Jesus, you know what? What we've just learned is we can change culture for the good with kingdom increase in 3 months. If life can be changed in 3 months, then we can make a change. A huge change in a matter of only a few months. If we rally together, if we pull together, and that's going to be later on in the message. That's exactly what we've done. Now, another one. I got to qualify this one, and I have to explain it a little bit because some people don't know where I'm going with this, but I just want to simply say that COVID was another nail in the coffin of old religion. And somebody say amen. Now, let me simply say this, very practically, people are going to do what they're going to do. Now, isn't that just rich knowledge? People are going to do what they're going to do. Especially when no one's watching. And in COVID isolation, no one's watching. And I heard someone say years ago, who you are in private is actually who you are. True? Now, we don't have to go to church anymore. Now, we can skip watching church and no one knows. And if that's where people live, then that's okay. That's okay. But the coffin, the nail in the coffin of religion is B. And that is COVID brought us to the place of making brand new priorities. Oh, come on. Understanding the stuff that really matters. Isn't that true? It's reprioritized us. It's reordered us. You know, no one's watching, but that doesn't matter. The reality is we're doing things that can build us up, that can fortify us, that can strengthen us. Our distractions were removed. All these live things. Now, I'm speaking as a guy. Come on, guys, on Father's Day. You know all about it. Our baseball is gone. Our football is gone. Our hockey is gone. Our underwater basket weaving is gone. Everything is gone. The distractions were removed. I'll have you know that I've watched more tapes of football, old football games, than ever before. In fact, I'm already back to 1987 watching games. I wish I was kidding. Oh, help us, Jesus. Now, what we've learned, what's the new priorities? It's all about having a relationship with Jesus and his people because we want to, not because we have to, based on guilt or fear of what will people say. There's your takeaway today. Isn't that good news? That we have this walk with Jesus because we want to, not because we have to. It's like the guy, the little boy that's going to school and he's 12 years old or 10 or however, whenever they learn this. Hopefully they never learn it, but they turn 10 or 12 or 14 or whatever, and they learn the thrill of skipping school. I skip school. No one knows I skip school. And it's the same thing. I go, really? What about priority of wanting to go to school? And every parent says amen. Wanting to go to school to learn, to make something of your life. Somebody, come on, parents, say amen. It's the same thing with the kingdom of God. I want to press into the love and the greatness of God. And when you get there, when you press into the love and greatness of God, watch out, you soar. Because I've got, you know I have to sing, right? Like, you know I have to sing, right? Because when we soar, it's the end of religion as we know it. It's the end of religion as we know it. Come on, yeah, come on, church. It's the end of religion as we know it. And I feel fine. Okay, I tried. Okay, now, I'm going to get really honest here. And I hope you hear my heart. Because this is where I've lived for 3 months. I'm going to ask you a question. How do you do, and Kruma and I have talked lots about this. In fact, the staff, we've all talked about this lots over the last 2-3 months. How do you do follow-up in the midst of people when there's no mechanism knowing who to follow up? It's tough. See, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Can I let you come on close? Not 6 feet, but come on in close. See, if there is a follower of Jesus, and I've noticed that they haven't been around for 3, 4, 5 weeks, I'm going to give that gracious, hey, missing ya. Want to do coffee? Hey. Can't do that when there's no mechanism to know if you're here or not. That's just real honest. That's real honest. But then I've realized that even in the midst of this, which has been very, very hard for me, a social guy, a relational guy, loves people, loves to connect with people, loves to see people connect with God, and it's taken from me. But I also realized that God had a plan. Oh, God has a plan. Ooh. Oh. I've been praying for 2 weeks, Jesus, help me be okay. Help me be okay and to celebrate who's here. Not to lament on who isn't. That's tough. To celebrate who's here. And you know what? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Having to leave people with Jesus. And that's not a, oh, well, who cares? I didn't want to do any of it anyway. No. Passionate about care, passionate about nurture, passionate about follow-up. Knowing that there are wolves out there, wolves of thought, wolves of people, wolves of demons out there to ravish the sheep. And when I say sheep, I'm talking about the beautiful children, the sons and daughters of God, to know that there is stuff out there lurking to destroy. It's agony. There has been so many hours of prayerful tears, surrendering people, calling on Jesus for people, asking that the fullness and the purposes of God be on these people, that Holy Spirit would teach and instruct and encourage and love on them and bless them in the midst of this season. You know, they talk about mental illness being through the roof in this season. Paranoia and thoughts and all the poison that can come over us. I had to have been up 10 times last night praying in tongues, asking God to ward off stuff because of this morning. Just notice my wet speaking. Ooh, that was fun. Getting to the place always of hearing the still small voice of God, and he says, son, go and talk to so-and-so, give so-and-so a call. And then I say, oh, do I have to? Kidding. Now, we're going to get to the good stuff. Here we go. Speaking of doing what we can to follow up in people's lives, this is really cool. And this brings us to the end of the message. Listen. We created new vehicles of we are there for you, church. We love you and we're there for you. I'm going to be talking about that at the very, very end, but can I just simply say that we started a brand new digital directory to help us follow up. We can now send out messages and information and prayer requests and love messages to everybody that has signed up to the directory. We've created new social media venues. We have TNT every week. Just out of curiosity, I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. How many people have seen any of the TNTs? Okay, TNT. And you go, what's TNT? You haven't seen it. It's Todd and Tammy. Work with me. And it's on Facebook, and we do it every single week. It's usually Friday. Now that Tammy's been back to work for the last month, it's changed up a little bit, but it's usually Friday. We'll give you a heads up that week. And you know what? We've heard so many encouraging things about people being blessed by this banter, just back and forth. And it's a devotion. It's a blessing, and I'm completely competing with children right now, so I have to be more animated. But you know what? It's been so cool. And I never thought I would do anything like that. And then, a little free plug for what we're doing, very inventive in socially responsible games that we've done. Now, almost done. Here we go. Number four, I think it is. This is another thing that has happened because of COVID. And give yourself a hand. Smile inside your heart because we have shined. Amen? We've shined. We've met the need. We've reached out. We've been the difference. People have rose to the occasion. And I am rejoicing. If it be awesome ideas about communication and messages, if it be benevolent care, if it be deliveries, you know, the Alliance Church have handed out almost 2,000 pounds, 4,000 pounds, 4,000 pounds of benevolent food and gifts. Come on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Love that Alliance Church. Doing more charity work, doing good things, making a difference. If it's people rallying for a cause or in a crisis, people do it. And you know the sayings, we've all heard them, but they're true. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Cream rises to the top. Gold is refined in the fire. All these things are true in the midst of COVID, right? Yeah. We had a beautiful team yesterday to help us with the gardens. Thank you, team. Mwah. Thank you, team. You know who you are. And we're getting the gardens all fixed up. We're getting things cleaned up. Now, I love this quote from Greg Crochelle. What feels like our worst interruptions may actually be God's greatest invitations. And we're seeing that happen right before us. Okay, got to move. Got to move quick. Here we go. James 1. How could you not preach? How could you not read James 1, verses 2 to 4 in the midst of this? Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind comes your way, like COVID-19, that's what it actually says right in the scripture. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Come on. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Is God doing that in the midst of COVID-19? Is that what God's doing? When we're forced to, we make great things happen. It's the way it's always been. When the church is persecuted, listen to me, when the church has been persecuted, it's always flourished. And over the last couple of years and over the last 3 months, the church has been persecuted. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to flourish. We're going to flourish. John Maxwell says, crisis, and Tammy has quoted this at least 20 times. I think you've said it in your talks. And that is, crisis is the bump that takes you out of the comfort zone into the creative zone. Oh, come on. And our abilities and our willing to take risks have skyrocketed using all the things that are at our disposal. I'm almost done. There are tons of positive things that have happened in COVID, actually. But the last one I'm going to talk about is this. COVID forced us to ask the tough questions. Isn't that true? Ask us to make hard decisions. Asked us to really focus in on what God wanted to do. Because the message is eternal. The message is eternal. But methods are not negotiable. Let me say that again. Because the message is eternal. Everyone say amen. But methods are negotiable. Now, I was listening to it. I've done this more in the last 3 months than ever before in my life. Ever before. I was listening to an amazing podcast last Monday from Bill Markham from St. Catharines, Ontario. And he was talking about God, how God had to take even the disciples out of their comfort zone. And here was the issue. And this is what I just sort of want to just lock onto just for a few minutes. And then we're going to talk about some very, very cool things. Let me give you the setting. All right. The issue was the original church were Jewish. All the original followers of Christ were Jewish. And they struggled, listen to this, because this is cool. And they struggled that God was allowing the Gentiles, and I would assume that that's probably everyone in this room. God, can you imagine in his love, how could he do it? That God was actually allowing Gentiles, us, to become Christians, to get saved, to have a new life? How could he do that? And the Jews, the original Christians who were Jews, they were having a very, very hard time with this. Now, isn't that in itself almost a form of racism? Have you ever thought of it that way? That in itself is like a racism. And this message is very, very timely as we've all watched the videos over the last 3-4 months and the raids and the marches and the drama that's happened over the last month because of George Floyd. And we want to do our part in a gracious, peaceful walk. And if anyone is available, again, I'm not endorsing it, I'm just communicating the information that if anybody wants to be part of the peaceful walk against racism that's happening Friday at 4:00, you're more than welcome. And so I just leave it there. But prejudice. God has always dealt with the problem of prejudice. Now, I won't read the entire passage. I'll simply give you the Coles note, and I want to just, it's in Acts 10, and it's 1 through 35. It's a long passage, but I'm just going to give a really, really brief thing here. God had an angel come and speak to a Roman officer, obviously not Jewish, and his name was Cornelius, telling him to have Peter come to his house. Now, God probably asked Cornelius to do that because God had to deal with Peter's prejudices against non-Jews. So before a team from Cornelius got to Peter's place, God had to deal with Peter, put him in a trance, and that's what you're reading right there after his trance. It says, Peter saw an open sky, or the sky open, and something like a large sheet that was let down by its four corners. This is actually what happened. It was a trance and a vision that Peter had. On the sheet, there was some sort of animals, reptiles, birds. Then a voice said from God,
get up, Peter, kill and eat them.
That's how God speaks. He uses the microphone. And then Peter says, no, I can't. I've never eaten anything that the Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean. But then the voice spoke again.
Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean.
That's how God speaks. The same vision was repeated three times, and then whew, the sheet was lifted up back into heaven. Peter had to learn a lesson. God had to deal with his racism or his prejudice. Peter learned that his prejudices were wrong. And we realize and we know that he was fixed, at least temporarily, by this attitude, because he went to Cornelius's place and he shared this. This is Peter's speech to the people in Cornelius's house. He says, you know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile's home. He wouldn't have done it unless there was unless God would have given him the vision. In fact, we can't even associate with you. But God has shown me, come on, somebody get excited, that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. Somebody say amen. So I came without objection. I was thrilled to come when you sent for me. And then he went on to say, and this is the good news that we learned from then, and it's the good news that we learn from now. I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. Hallelujah. He loves us all. He loves us all. He accepts those who fear him and do what is right. And then the Bible goes on to say that because he had learned his lesson, he went on and shared it with the love of Jesus, and everyone got saved, as we say, and everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. God had to get that religiousness out of him. He asked Peter to seemingly break an Old Testament law. Peter was shocked, and he vowed he wouldn't. But I love what Jesus said. Don't call something unclean that I've made clean. Put a 2020 context in that one. Don't you dare call something unclean that I have made clean. Praise the name of Jesus. In closing, how can we relate? How can we bring this to 2020 if you haven't already figured it out? Well, it's easy. It's easy. Our prejudices, whatever they are. Deal with us, Lord, about our prejudices. Yeah, there's social issues, there's racial issues, there's all those sorts of things. But then bringing it down to church land. Are you ready for this? I've always done it that way. We can't do it like this because we've always done it like this. Can't do church like this because we've always done it like this. And I took great pride that Emerge Church is so forward-thinking. Oh, we are cutting edge. We're not religious. We're not uptight about organs. Did I just say that? We're not uptight about playing on the organ and what kind of style of music. We're going to play this kind of music. You know why? Because it's reaching people. But then it goes a little farther, and God had to deal with my heart. We always struggle with new. I struggle with new. I really do. And this has been a very, very hard struggle for me because, gosh, I thought I was cutting edge. And I realized that I was still had lots of old religiosity into me. And God had to deal with my heart. Now, thankfully, he didn't put a big sheet down on my room and he didn't throw a bunch of cows and horses and reptiles and stuff all over my bedroom. But I'm very, very grateful for that. But in the midst of COVID-19, he has certainly been teaching me lessons. Now, we have to do it a new way. We have to get to the place of doing things differently. I'm going to give you my example. There is nothing in this world that is harder for me to stay between here and here on this pulpit and not go all over this room. But I have to do it a new way. You know why? Because there's a camera over there that's watching me and it's focused from here to here. So I've had to do a new way. I've had to do a new way digitally every week, preaching to a room full of pictures. Hallelujah. And they don't talk back. They talk very unmoistly. Now, here's the cool thing. For someone else that like it right here, they'd have to, and it would be new for them to have to go all over the place and sing. See, we all have a different new. See that? We all have a different new. I think, yeah, watch this. Rules are subject to reason. Now, old rules that have nothing to do with God, but are only old traditions, has to give way when we ask the question, why are we doing it? It has to give way to the reason of why we're doing it. I've heard it lots of times, Sheldon. I won't say 50 times because Sheldon always says I exaggerate my numbers. I've heard it 46 times over the last 3 months. Digital doesn't end when COVID ends. You know, how many times have we said, and me included, where we go, oh, I can hardly wait till things go back to normal. And God has said in every seminar I've gone to and said, in every podcast I've said, in every Skype I've gone to, they all say, hey, this is the new normal. We ain't going back. That camera is going to be here forever. And we're going to do this better and better and better. I'll tell you why. Because we've been awakened. I've been awakened to the digital age. Write this down because this is very cool. And I've been awakened by the on-demand culture that is the same with doing church. And I fought this just like Peter did. No way. I want people to church. And then I realized that, you know what, people live, and I've heard this from so many people, free-thinking, positive, new-thinking people have said, hey, it's an on-demand culture. And then I think, well, why would I struggle with that? Because I've lived in the on-demand world for 3 years. I have not watched a show at its regular time for 3 years. Hello? Not once. Oh, it's Thursday, 7 o'clock. It's time for, what's that spinny game show thing? Wheel of Fortune. I got, because it's 7 o'clock. Come on, kids, let's huddle around the TV because it's Wheel of Fortune. There's none of that anymore because it's now on demand. You tape it. I have not watched a show that hasn't been taped in 2 years. Why am I saying all that? Well, because on demand will be a new thing in church as well. Um, We watch it at our convenience. Now, listen to me. We will always have a Sunday morning live experience, and it's going to be here, always. But what we also will have is an on-demand experience for those that are curious about God but wouldn't step inside a church yet, or for those that can't make it to church on that Sunday. There's going to be an on-demand mechanism. Now, what we're probably... Oh, man, do I want to leave this pulpit. Oh, my goodness. Because we want to put graphics on it, this will probably be presented next Sunday at 10:30. So the video one will always be a week behind. This week is tough, but then going forward, then it's fine. Because people that aren't here can watch the one, can watch one every Sunday morning at 10:30. Okay, stand with me, church. Let me pray for you. Oh, leave the graphics on. Positive things from COVID. Positive things from COVID. When the world is at the lowest, let the church be at its highest. Oh, come on. Somebody say amen. Amen. Church, thank you for coming. Thank you for venturing out and being brave and being here. It is great to see your faces. It is great to be with people enjoying Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. And you know what? If you're comfortable with that, bring someone next week that maybe has never done this before. And it's a new adventure. We're starting. This is all brand new. So let's jump in and let's enjoy. So our takeaway is simply this: COVID forced us to change and pursue new opportunities. Isn't that true? And here we go. Church, here we go. Kingdom increase, because we're doing everything we can, become all things to all men, to all people, to save some. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for today. Thank you that we started again here. Would you bless everybody, Jesus? Would you bless their day? Would you bless their week? Would you encourage us? Would you edify us? Would you build us up? Would you challenge us, Lord, to be able to share your love, even in a social distancing world? In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great day.